Las Vegas, Nevada, on the free FM. The phone number, if you want to get right in the queue, 866-570-PEN. That's 7366 if you don't have letters on your phone. PennRadio.com. And I'm sitting sitting across from me. Michael Goudeau, as we all know, is down futilely waiting for the shuttle to take off. He's got his whole family, and they're sitting around waiting for it to take off and watch that. That's what Michael Goudeau is doing. And sitting in Michael Goudeau's seat is Lawrence O'Donnell Jr. And how are you introduced now? Are you still writer on the West Wing?
Everything is former. Everything in my resume. It's just screams of unemployment. Former, most recently, former West Wing executive producer.
Uh-huh.
Interesting contrast to that. And, you know, of other TV shows also before that. And then former chief of staff of the United States Senate Finance Committee.
Oh, good.
Which is an unusual thing to have on a TV
writer's
resume.
Except that was the TV show was about Washington.
Yeah, it makes sense that I would end up doing that.
It's like lawyers being on Law and Order or something.
Right. And I was actually a writer before I went to work in politics and government. That all happened because of a Writers Guild strike that lasted about 6 months, and I slipped into a political campaign and then slipped into... Not exactly. I wasn't deriving an income from screenwriting. So that's all you have to do when you're on strike.
But you wanted to.
I wanted to badly, yeah. Yeah. So I took a government paycheck instead. Okay. And that ended up lasting quite a few years.
So former. And you also do Air America all the time?
You know, I do a Franken show. And then he had me actually guest host for him last week, Thursday and Friday. And I discovered Pim. In the first minute, the importance of the person to chat with in the studio. In other words, I went on and I realized I didn't really premeditate the whole thing very much, and I realized, oh, I'm completely alone, and there's an engineer who can talk, and there's a couple of people. You know, Howard Stern has about a dozen or something.
Yes, he has,
right?
An army.
Yeah, and. And Rush Limbaugh, by the way, has none. And I've listened to that a lot. And so I always knew that was a hard thing to do. But I was reaching out for that person really, really fast.
So you took phone calls, didn't you?
And we took phone calls, which Al never does.
866-570-PEN. That's 7366. And the topic I want to talk about is former writer, former executive producer on West.
I'm sure I'll be something else again at some point.
But more important, what you are right now is, like many Americans who fly, you're a smuggler. Is that right?
Yes.
And that's what we want you to call in with. What are you smuggling on airplanes? 866-570-PEN 7366. You know, there's a theory of government that you're in big trouble if innocent people in your country don't feel innocent. And certainly anyone who flies feels guilty. Right. Is there anyone who flies without guilt?
No. I do not feel guilty.
You don't feel guilty at all?
No, even when smuggling. I just want to stress this. It's a big decision before the show whether I would admit to smuggling or not.
I made that decision for you.
I will submit to you that it's all been inadvertent. I'll describe the first time I did it. Okay, I was supposed to fly on August 10th, the day when they made the arrests in London and Heathrow went crazy and all the airports went crazy.
We're going to talk about that. I want to just put a little footnote in here. If there are any chemists who know about binary liquid explosives, we would love them to call in. Because there's an article on this online thing called The Register, called Mass Murder in the Sky, Was the Plot Feasible? That talks about the myth of binary liquid explosives. In other words, if they had not broken up this plot in England on that day, and if these people had been able to do what they were planning on doing, it would not have worked. And this is a fascinating article I'm going to quote from a lot, but everything article. So it's possible we're reading an article by a nut, Thomas C. Green. I don't know anything else about him, but he's written this article that seems really good. So if there's a chemist that can call in and talk to us about the feasibility of carrying stuff on in drink bottles and then blowing up a plane, I would love to hear somebody. Because, you know, I trust someone who just dials my phone number much more than I trust someone on a web page.
I would like to formally disassociate myself from the reference to Thomas C. Green being a possible nut.
Okay, he's not.
I've read his piece.
Uh-huh.
It's a very compelling piece.
Uh-huh.
I believe he's completely right.
Okay. Well, it seems right to me. But go on with your smuggling history.
So I was going to go August. I was supposed to fly that day to Washington, and I knew, they're not, the TSA, it's going to be madness. It's going to be a nightmare. I'm not going. So I didn't go. And I went exactly a week later, 7 days later. And I was going to do the McLaughlin Group, you know, which is a TV show that I appear on. And my hair has to look, I care about my hair on that show.
Sure.
And I use a product called Mud. Which is actually white and kind of gooey. And I had to have some.
Well, that gives your hair what? Gives it body or?
It just makes it behave in a collective way.
Okay.
I have Chinese hair, and each one of them has its own idea about what it's going to do today.
Uh-huh.
And so I need something that collects them and makes.
So you have what kind of container does this make?
It's a small round container. It's obviously a cosmetic, and I just couldn't imagine traveling without it. And so. And so I, by the way, the way I was going to tell this story is I was going to claim that all of this was inadvertent.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you started it that way.
Let's pretend that all this happened inadvertently. Okay. But now that you know about my position with my hair,
yeah.
you can tell there's some premeditation.
Now, but let me just say, isn't there someone at the McLaughlin Group that you could call and say, pick up some mud O'Donnell?
Not really. It would. They have hairspray, which is a different thing. And I could go on and on about this because I care about nothing more than how I look on the McLaughlin Group. I frequently show up with nothing to say, but I'm desperate about how I look. So
and you always look good on it too.
Yeah,
you're successful.
And you know, I like to brush my teeth, and I kind of like to brush my teeth sometimes on the plane. I like to brush them a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So I basically brought everything, toothpaste, everything I would normally bring, and I put them in all the normal places that they would be in my luggage.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I was caught, I was going to say, oh, geez, sorry, that's been there for a year. It's always, I never move.
I think other people have tried
that. I had my story ready. And then I decided to come up with a diversionary tactic.
Misdirection.
That's the word. That magic thing. I put a very obvious half consumed bottle of water in an open tote bag.
Mm-hmm.
And so it went through the machine, and the TSA guy decided, hey, it's an open tote bag. Why don't I just look in it? Mm-hmm. So he looks in. Bingo. The first thing he sees is a bottle of water. He's very excited because it's been the better part of a week since he saw his last bottle of water. Because the whole world has been told that the most dangerous substance on Earth is water now. And so he's thrilled, and he says to me, look, this is, and I pretend like I've forgotten that. He says, you can drink it right now or throw it away. I said, let me drink that. So I'm drinking it. My big black bag filled with cosmetics is floating by.
Illegal. You're going to say the word illegal.
It's actually not illegal.
You just can't fly.
There's no crime. Let's just get this straight. There's no crime involved in taking something on the plane that they have decided you're not supposed to take, as long as it's a legal substance.
Let's talk to Paul. Hey, Paul, what's up, man?
Hey, not much. I was calling in about the Guardian article.
It actually wasn't Guardian.
He's right. There was an article in the Manchester Guardian.
Yeah, lay it on us.
Which
it
may be derived from this article.
Lay it on us, Paul.
Yeah, I read an article in the Guardian where it's saying it was all that, and I'm an analytical chemist, really, not like an organic chemist.
That's so much more chemistry than us.
Yeah, when I took Orgo, it was very much like that, and, you know, my roommates are both chemists, and I told one of them about the article, and he's a real organic chemist, and he just laughed his ass off, saying, yeah, it's going to take forever, you're going to, like, you know, it's really, really difficult to do that, and you're not really going to hurt anyone.
Well, what do you know about TATP, which is what they thought they were doing? Triacetone, triperoxide.
I don't know much about that specific thing, but I do know peroxides are remarkably unstable.
Yes, the article says that if you bring enough of it with you, it'll probably blow up in the taxi cab on the way to the airport.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, that if you carry it around, you're gonna explode on the way there, and if you try and make it, it's going to explode before you make enough to blow anything up.
Well, what he says is making a quantity of TATP sufficient to bring down an airplane is not quite as simple as ducking to the toilet and mixing two harmless liquids together. First, you've got to get adequately concentrated hydrogen peroxide. This is hard to come by, so a large quantity of 3% solution sold in pharmacies might have to be concentrated by boiling off the water. Only this is risky and can lead to mission failure by means of burning down your makeshift lab before a single infidel is harmed. Okay? So that's your first dangerous part. You have to take the hydrogen peroxide, the acetone, and the sulfuric acid, measure them very carefully, put them into drink bottles for convenient smuggling onto a plane. You can mix the peroxide and the acetone in one container so long as it remains cold, so you need to bring several frozen gel packs, preferably in a styrofoam chiller, deceptively marked perishable foods, a thermometer, a large beaker, a stirring rod, and a medicine dropper. Those are all the things you're going to need. Does that sound like the guy who wrote this article knows what he's talking about?
Oh, definitely.
I told you he wasn't a nut.
if you've ever done a temperature controlled reaction, they're such a pain in the ass because you have to add things very slowly because they start to increase temperature, and if you get too high, you're either going to get something you don't want, or in the case of peroxides like that, it's going to explode and just kill you.
He doesn't. Does he say anywhere here? You read this carefully too, Elodie. Does it say anywhere here how much of the of these two chemicals you have to get on? Does it say in the article?
I don't remember. I don't remember that it said anything like that.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the other thing is, so when you see something like, what is it? Is it Die Hard 3 or the James Bond movies where these two chemicals just mix together? You sitting there as a chemist just go, this is complete and utter fantasy, right?
Most things in movies, as just even a scientist, I'm sitting there saying, this is complete and utter fantasy.
You know, when you started saying most things in movies, I thought you were also going to say, like the way people look naked and love are complete and utter fantasies. But yeah, I guess as a chemist. So they did this huge thing where they brought these guys down in England, took us from doing taking hair gel on the plane, except for LOD, who's a smuggler, and you believe, as a chemist, or at least a chemist who claims to be a chemist on the radio, you believe that all of that is 100% jive, that these guys they caught had a very low or knocking on zero chance of taking down an airplane with these chemicals. Is that right?
Definitely. I mean, that's saying the way that they're publicly saying it's done. I don't know if there are other ways. You know, that specific procedure using peroxides like that definitely sounds jive to me. I don't know. I can't think of anything offhand where you could just bring some liquids in there, but you know, it's possible.
Now, Lawrence, you worked in the government for a long time. What are the chances that these guys had an entirely different binary liquid explosive system, and they release something else to the press so that someone else wouldn't get the idea? Is that the kind of stuff that's done?
I would ask you exactly how good do you think the chemistry departments are in the Al-Qaeda training camp colleges?
I've seen Jack Bauer, and he's up against really tough guys on 24. You think they don't have good chemistry?
I have a feeling that the average chemist calling into Penn Jillette's radio show in the United States knows infinitely more than the collected chemistry wisdom of all of Al-Qaeda.
Okay.
Well, I watch MacGyver a lot, so basically a training video for making improvised explosive devices.
Uh-huh.
If you watch closely.
Yeah.
Every episode he makes thermite bombs, things like that.
And none of them would work at all.
The ones on MacGyver?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I mean, not as easy as he makes them, because, like, I've made thermite before, and it's not like you just saw down a little bit of a bike, and it, like, comes out perfect thermite. I mean, he didn't even use a scale or anything. But
I think you need to tell us a little more about thermite, for those of us who haven't watched as much MacGyver as you have.
Thermite?
Yeah.
It's just a mixture of iron oxide, which is rust, and aluminum. And if you light it, you use like a magnesium strip.
Oh, I did that as a kid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It lights up and it burns like really, really hot.
Uh-huh.
Like you can melt through all kinds of metals and stuff. And you can make that a common thing. It's one of the things MacGyver likes to make.
But you that would not bring down an airplane.
Thermite? I don't think so.
You'd have to have a lot of it.
Yeah, and you couldn't get through metal detectors. It's made of iron.
Yeah. Well, I think anything else for Paul? You got any other questions for Paul?
Well, you know, one of the points made in the article is that so we're now making policy based on what idiots we're talking about doing. You know, these people arrested in London were idiots because they were talking about doing this. Mm-hmm. They just didn't understand that you won't be able to. And, oh, by the way, they didn't even have these raw materials yet for doing it.
They hadn't boiled down their...
Right. And so then we make a policy to stop what these idiots had in mind doing, which actually couldn't be done anyway.
And turn you into a smuggler for your hair care products.
That's what I've become.
So, Paul, I'm not going to ask you to detail this because it doesn't seem like it would be prudent. But if you were given $1 million and a lab and your friends, and you had no moral objection to it, is there a substance that you could smuggle on an airplane that you believe would blow it up? In carry-on, in the compartment with you, not down below with a cell phone detonator. But given, I mean, I'll give you an unlimited budget and I'll take all your morals away. Could you do it?
Maybe. depends what airport I want to go to.
What's your biggest stumbling block?
Biggest stumbling block?
Yeah, what's the hardest part of you doing this task?
Probably they have the nitrate sniffing things. Like, uh-huh. A lot of good explosives are nitrates.
Mm-hmm.
So making non-nitrate explosives that are kind of really, really good would probably be kind of a pain in the ass.
So when you look at this as a chemist, just from you're not just a chemist who watches a lot of MacGyver. As a chemist who watches a lot of MacGyver, you think that the nitrate sniffing and that kind of stuff really is making you safer going on an airplane?
Oh, no. I don't think most of what any government program trying to take out like terrorists is just stupid and wasteful, but if I was just trying to make sure, you know, I would think that I could probably bring on some really, really good, easy-to-make bombs past mm-hmm. security, but if they were doing it right, which I don't think they do.
Okay, I see. But you do think that there is a security that is right that would stop even a top-notch chemist from getting stuff on an airplane? You believe that there is a kind of security that could be done?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, do you think it should be done, or are you willing to take that guess? Are you willing to take that gamble that there's nobody that's that good a chemist that's also on the side of bad that would be willing to try that?
How good do we think these Islamic fanatic chemists are?
I think not good at
all. They don't like science.
Yeah, no, they hate science.
That's not where they want to be.
No,
you know.
They want to be in heaven, right?
Yeah.
That's why I dropped the call, incidentally.
Yeah.
I had my finger on the button.
Because why keep a caller on when he knows that
much? I had my finger on the button just so I could have a nice out into the really interesting trembled in excitement, and there he was gone. If we need him again, he's probably still listening. He'll probably call back.
Smartest caller in my lifetime of talk radio listening. That's it.
And very measured and a very cool guy. Anyway, Paul, we thank you very much. Maybe you'll call in again. The question before you is, what have you smuggled on an airplane, and do you feel good about it? 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. And my guest today, Lawrence O'Donnell Jr. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio@gmail.com, or PennRadio.com. And I'm sitting here with former executive producer of The West Wing and now smuggler Lawrence O'Donnell Jr. Do you still use the Jr.?
I do use the Jr. My father, is a lawyer in Boston, and there would be much confusion if I didn't.
Much confusion.
Yeah.
They would start, is there confusion as it is? Do they say, do a lot of people know your dad in Hollywood?
No. So in Hollywood, it's pure affectation and takes up more room in the credits.
Exactly.
So your name stands out more.
Do you spell out Junior in the credits?
I would like to.
Do you have a middle name?
Francis.
Lawrence Francis O'Donnell Jr. Mm-hmm. That's who should. Mm-hmm.
There's no TV screen big enough.
But at the CES show, that's what they used this year to demonstrate them. Mm-hmm. We're talking about TSA. We had that greatest call. one of the greatest goals ever.
No. Listen, I've been listening to talk radio truly since I was 10 years old. I love it. I've been on it a bit myself, but I've listened to it for a lifetime. I have never heard a caller at the intelligence level and wisdom level of Paul on the matter of how to blow up planes. It was fabulous.
Okay, well, that's what we're competing with. And, Harold, you're competing with the single greatest call in talk radio history. You're following it. What are you going to say, Harold?
Good luck, Harold.
Well, I concede the competition, but let me just make this point. You raise a very good point about how the policy seems to reflect the stupidity of prior smugglers or with wannabes. I think that we have, all our men have all had to wait in line at security booths, take off our belt because somebody tried to get in with a bomb belt. We have to take off our shoes because someone had tried to get in with a sneaker bomb. I think heterosexual men should pool their resources and recruit one woman to attempt to go through with a bra bomb so that forevermore we can watch women have to take their bras off as they go through the security booth.
All right.
I have to
reconsider here.
Yeah.
This is at least a tie.
At least a tie. So we want to find one woman, one nut, and it's easy to find. You can find a female nut.
Hey, this is Las Vegas.
Let's put some money together. We'll pay her. Come on.
Pay her good money. And you wanted to have explosives, and it can't be just in the underwire or something. It has to be really in the fabric of the bra itself.
It requires full removal.
But there is one bad part of this, you know. You could be outsmarted because the wily government could decide to do separate lines for men and women then.
Oh
my God.
Oh. And then you wouldn't have the fun. I know you've been behind women who, when taking off their shoes in a short skirt, give you a little glimpse of heaven, where the terrorists are going. They give you a little glimpse of that by taking off their shoes. They lift up that knee there. I know the angle you got. And you lean over at that moment, that exact moment to get your computer out of the bag. You can really see. You can really see all the way to howdy-do. And you're going to throw that away. See, what you have to remember is a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. You have to remember that. You now have women in short skirts and in tight tops going through ahead of you, and they're so misdirected by airport security that you can stare at them in a way that in a frozen food department would get you ushered to the door. So you already have that, okay? Now, you are going to try. You're going to try. You know, your whole than a pair of aces, you're not going to bet, you're going to hope to flop, if you win this way, you have flopped a very big pair, right? Because you say, there's been a bra bump, but what if they separate us out, and then it's just boys, and all you're watching is the construction worker ahead of you taking off his shoes and showing you the stink foot. What if that's what you end up getting?
Pen, all I have to do is forevermore get in the wrong line.
So let me get this straight. Now, Harold, you are planning on, this is the whole plan Harold has, raise money from many, many men, hire a crack whore in Vegas, outfit her bra with a bomb, have her go through airport security, get caught, have that go to national news, have this crack whore who's willing to do this for money not give you up when she goes to prison. Okay, then you're going to have the national TSA decide that all women have to take off their bras. In order to do that, they're going to separate the lines into men and women, and you are going to dress in drag, in complete full drag every time you fly, get in the airport line, take off your bra, which is heavily padded, in front of all these women, just so you can see other women take off their bras. Wouldn't you be better off in just investing, $60 and going to a strip club where you can probably get your hands on them?
First of all, I don't see the downside in anything that you've just described. Secondly, is the point of this show to destroy my fantasies?
Yeah, I think it's all good. It's all good. How do you look in drag, Harold?
I can rise to the occasion. I haven't done it yet, but we're talking about a whole new... Yeah, I think it's going to be great.
Okay.
We can sell the clothing line for men who want to dress like women to get in the line. I bet you're giving the government a great deal of intelligence here that they would think of the two-line concept. I mean, this is the same group of people who say that the only liquid you can bring on a plane now is breast milk, as if they're tasting it to know the difference. It makes no sense to me.
Now, how about you just get yourself a job as breast milk taster? Have you thought of that? I have a lot of things to improve your sex life.
How about this? For the people in the, for the really thirsty or liquid, meaty people in the airport, I can offer a service of harvesting breast milk in the airport for those to get a liquid on the plane.
Harold, you are a genius, and I'm just so happy that you're working for the side of good and not for Al-Qaeda.
I'm the same guy who gave you the verb extincting, by the way.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. Thanks a lot, Harold.
You could not come up with an angle on that that Harold hadn't thought of.
Exactly. He had everything covered. And I don't know if you heard at the end, but he's the one that came up with the extincting. We were talking about woolly mammoths, and he said there's a lot of other species that need extincting. So,
by the way, every time you take off your shoes at the airport, you should know that according to the article we're quoting today, Thomas Green's article, Richard Reeve could not have blown up anything with anything in his shoes. So this is just like the other stuff we're talking about with the liquids. You're not going to be able to blow up a plane with any of these liquids that you're bringing on.
Now, isn't somebody going to think of taking an incredibly powerful strain of athlete's foot and just sprinkling it in that area before you go through the metal detectors?
That's probably happening already.
That's kind of a bioterrorism. Yeah. You know, I have said, I mean, back before 9/11, back when you could still make kind of jokes, and they still would occasionally, if you wear steel-toed boots, make you take them off. I would say, no, I really hate to take these off because I have such a wicked bad infection that I would take them off and watch people behind me change lines. So there's other stuff you could, but now, you know, you just go to prison. You know, you go to like Gitmo forever and you're tortured for that. So there's no more jokes. No more jokes at all. But, when you could do jokes, that was one of the ones that I did. We can take a call. Let's talk to, I just like the name Paul today, so let's take a call from Paul. How you doing, Paul?
Oh, not bad. Yourself?
Never better, boss. What's up?
Oh, I'm probably going to be the stupidest call you've had so far, but
That's so easy.
Yeah. We've had really great smart calls, so you could be a very smart man and have the stupidest call today. So we're with you here.
Okay, fair enough. I've got a buddy who was two doors down from me in Bosnia when we were living on base there, and he inadvertently had his bayonet in his carry-on all the way from Edmonton, Alberta to Zagreb, Croatia.
Oh, we've all done that.
This isn't like a little Swiss Army knife. This is a big put on the end of a rifle and kill people knife. And he got it through like two different airports.
And did
Germany.
They all had security in place.
Yeah, in Canada and Germany.
Okay, Canada.
And he didn't kill anyone on the plane.
No, he's okay. Military. He waited until he got to Bosnia.
So they did not find a bayonet, is that right?
No, they didn't find it at all. It was right in the bottom of his carry-on, and it's like completely metal, even the handle and everything.
But you know what was involved there? What was involved there was profiling. What was involved there was looking at this guy coming through the system, and the people who were looking at him were thinking, he's okay.
Guy with a stupid haircut.
We're not going to bother checking his bag. He's okay. They're doing it all the time. Right. They're profiling all of us all the time.
Well, they always are pulling me out. I wonder why. Probably your friend looks not a lot like me. Is that right?
No, not even a little bit.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Paul. Watch your bayonet. On my way to Bosnia, my friend two doors down brought a bayonet all the way across. That's not a bad call.
That's not a bad call.
On many shows.
Any other day of the week, that's the best call of talk radio for the week, nationwide, every show.
Yeah, and we're just, the bar is very high. 866-570-PEN, that's 7366, penradio@gmail.com. And there's the music, penradio.com. I'm here with Lawrence O'Donnell, Lawrence Francis O'Donnell, Jr. Yeah, this is Ben Gillette. The jazz you're hearing is the Mike Jones Enormous Orchestra. Playing the Pendulette theme. I'm playing bass, incidentally. You can get that music. All the music from the Penn Radio Show is on PennRadio.com. You can get a click there. Go to Jones Jazz. Hear all his crazy bebop piano playing. If you want to send us a Gmail, it's PennRadio@gmail.com. The phone number is 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. And sitting here with Lawrence O'Donnell Jr., former executive producer of The West Wing, former senior advisor to Moynihan, former everything. And we're talking about smuggling what you got on a plane. And let's go to, you know, did you see this when you were at the airplane? My wife says the TSA now has advertisements on the bottom of the bins.
I haven't seen it yet, but I read an article about that.
Yeah, it's like drug companies and stuff, you know. Have an aspirin, I guess. Try it. What can get you through this? Let's take a phone call. Let's talk to Eric. How you doing, Eric? What's up, man?
Good. How are you?
Never better, boss.
Yeah, about 2 years ago, I brought absinthe on a plane coming from Greece.
Oh, absinthe. Yeah, and that's illegal here, right?
Yeah, it is.
And you brought it on a plane. You know, that's the thing. You know, Neil Gaiman, who is the one, you know, the writer, Neil Gaiman, neilgaiman.com, incidentally. And if you just type in Neil into Google, the first thing that pops up is Neil Gaiman. So it's easy enough for you. He's the one that sent me the article we're reading in the Register, the article by Green. What's his first name?
Thomas Green.
Thomas Green. He's the one that sent me that article. And he pointed out that after they do all this search for toothpaste and hair gel, they sell liquor in the airports, you know, overseas.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a glass bottle of flammable liquid that can be smashed and used as a weapon much more effective than a knife. I mean, I juggle broken liquor bottles in the Penn and Teller show, and once you break them, I mean, my hands get cut to pieces. If you take a broken liquor bottle and smash it into someone's face, it's...
Not to do it, but still... Airport stores are selling all sorts of things, including toothpaste, that you're not supposed to take on the airplane. Hint, hint, to anyone who gets through the x-ray machine and would then maybe want to have some toothpaste on an airplane. You can do it because they have passed that frenzy point where they were then rechecking people right at the gate before they get on the plane. There's no checking anybody at the gates.
But no one is supposed to be frightened of toothpaste. Even if we believe that those nuts were able to do that stuff, it was disguised liquids. We don't imagine that any of the stores are selling toothpaste that's actually an explosive disguise as toothpaste. But you got
so insane. Insane.
Did you use any sneaky methods there, Eric?
Nah. It could have been gasoline. Nobody even knew. I just kept it in my bag as a carry-on.
You know, I think I might have been unfair earlier when I was suggesting that the Madrasas are not going to be very good chemistry teachers. They're not going to have a good chemistry faculty there. I'm just looking online at this an article called The History of Chemistry. And it says right here, chemistry was not a science before the Muslims. The Muslims invented the scientific method. I could read more. Let me just see what website this is on. It's on Al-Bala, and a lot of the writing seems to be in Arabic.
Okay, well, maybe.
So, not everything on the web is equal.
I think you've gone to a terrorist training website.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I'm glad I used your computer.
Okay, good.
The FBI will have to come here to find out who did that.
Let's talk to Dave. How you doing, Dave?
Oh, I'm doing great, Ben. It's great to meet the person behind the envelope signing and box viewing experience.
Oh, good. Thank you so much. He's referring to our show at the Rio. There's the envelope signing and box viewing experience every night before the show starts. But go on, Dave. What have you been smoking?
I think it would be me. Let me explain behind that.
You're filled with liquid, aren't you?
Let me explain. And there's something called the OFAC list.
Uh-huh.
It's the list of terrorists that are out there that they always keep an eye out for. And there is a terrorist out there with my name.
Dave?
David M. with my last name.
Okay. Is your last name kind of an Anglo-Saxon name, or is it an Arabic last name? Or?
Jewish.
Well, come on. how far off are they?
Well, I was born here, but the thing is, every time I fly, they tell me I've been randomly selected to go through additional security. S's across it. Mm-hmm. So I haven't been randomly selected. My name's on the list, and they're lying to me by telling me that.
How did you find out your name was on the list?
My wife is in the banking industry, and she's able to, and then we were also told that my name is on this list because there's a terrorist out there flying with my name.
You mean they told you your name is on a list of terrorists, is that right?
That's right, and every time I fly, I can't go through the automated check-in. I actually have to have my passport scanned. Somebody has to look at all my information to make sure I'm the right person.
Well, you know, this happened to the senior senator from Massachusetts, Ted. 8 months, he was on the terrorist watch list. Now, some out there will say he should be. But he was on the terrorist watch list, and every time he went to an airport in Boston, where they all know him, he was put through this ordeal, and it took him, a big, powerful United States senator, something like 8 months to get his... He may be the only person who has succeeded in getting his name off the terrorist watch list, but what he proved is there's a lot of huge mistakes on that list.
Now, Dave, have you done anything to get yourself off the terrorist watch list?
No. From what I was told I have to do, I have to apply for a specific ID card that proves I'm not the person on the list. And to me, that's kind of like totally haywire, specifically with our type of government. Why should I be the one to prove I'm the right person?
Right.
You're the only one who can.
It doesn't make sense to me.
but this person that's a terrorist with your last name, he's not in custody anywhere.
Oh, come on. There's no terrorist with his last name.
No.
There's no terrorist named Teddy Kennedy out there.
Okay.
And they were just kind of picking the wrong one. They've gone berserk. They've got a lot of ridiculous names that have just... Somebody emptied a phone book onto that list.
So you don't think they just had the wrong Ted Kennedy?
No, there's okay. No. No one in Al-Qaeda is named Ted Kennedy. Not one.
Is anyone in Al-Qaeda named Dave at all? Dave anything?
There might be a Dave.
There might be a Dave?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, and we will do everything that we can to get you off that list, Dave.
Well, if anybody has any power, I'm sure you do.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dave. We'll do what we can. Let's talk to Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, Penn?
Never better, boss. How you doing, man?
All right, thanks. Here's a story for you that sort of gives some insight into the intelligence and greatness of the individuals working at the screening process in the airports.
Okay.
I have a friend who went to Europe.
Okay, is this a friend that is a lot like you?
No.
Okay.
Luckily, this, or I guess unluckily, because I wish I was there, this did not happen to me. But I have a friend who went to Europe, and he, much like myself, is very into medieval times and all that stuff. And he went and bought himself a replica but real broadsword.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you go to Europe, you have to buy a broadsword.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure.
So
if you're a guy like you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he got back to the airport.
How big is a broadsword?
It's about 5.5 feet long.
Okay.
So he got back to the airport. He was heading back home to America. And at the check, they confiscated his toenail clippers.
No, they didn't. Shut up. This is an urban myth. Shut up.
Ben, I swear to you, this is true.
Okay.
Let's hear him out. You can decide to believe him at the end.
Okay.
Or not.
Okay. So...
They confiscated his toenail clippers, but they did not take his sword because they said it was ornamental and thus not functional.
Ornamental and thus not functional. Was this a sharp sword?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as sharp as broadsword, broadswords aren't that sharp. They rely on their weight
to
kill people.
I want to believe this story very, very badly.
I really want to think
they're that insane.
I swear to you it's true.
Let's ask another question. When was this?
Okay, this was before. No, actually, no, because I was a freshman in college, so it wasn't before 9/11. It was after 9/11. It was after 9/11, but before we went to war.
What airport was it that they let this happen?
I'm sorry?
What airport was it where they let this happen?
You know, I didn't ask that.
It was somewhere in Europe, in England.
It was in England.
Oh, in England.
It was in England.
And he got on with a broadsword, but they took away his toenail clippers.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was packed in his bags, but it went through the X-ray machine. They saw it. They asked about it.
Okay.
And he didn't lie. He said he bought it. It was, you know, the capital gives tours.
Another successful example of profiling. They stared into this guy's eyes, and they decided he's okay.
He's just one of these nuts that collects medieval stuff. What do you own medieval, Mike?
Me? Well, I don't...
Do you have a suit of armor?
I'm making one.
Of course. Yes, exactly.
I should have bet my life on that. I knew that. You're making this. Yeah?
Penn, the guy you want to vote into presidency makes chainmail armor.
What? Oh, yes, you're Mike. Okay.
Yeah, I'm Mike.
This is President Mike. He's running for president next time around.
That's every once in a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Lawrence O'Donnell's had some experience in this. What ticket are you running on?
Independent.
Oh, okay. They usually do very, very well.
Yeah. Considering the long stream of independents we've had voted into the government, I figured I'd jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
So, just is your suit of armor for the campaign or for the inauguration?
It's a good way to get the geek vote.
I see. Okay. Thanks a lot, President Mike. Now, he calls in very often. He's always interesting. He's always smart. And he's running for president. His original idea was to send a postcard to every man, woman, and child in the United States of America saying, "I'm Mike, vote for me." And then we quickly did the mathematics on it. And Mike, at his job, is unable to afford that.
Yeah. Well, you know, if he's running for president, then he could not possibly be lying. about any story involving airport security.
You know, right now, I would bet my life that he really is making a suit of armor for himself.
That sounded credible.
I have no doubt at all. You don't believe the broadsword thing?
I want to, and I guess I can. It'll depend on the airport. Those stories have been told. I mean, you know, there's a lot of really, really nutty stories. That goes right up at the top of the nutty stories of things they've allowed and disallowed at the same time.
The nuttiest story is checking pilots and taking away pilots.
How about members of Congress? Every single 535, you know, House of Representatives and Senators, they all have identification that says this is who they are. And a lot of them are recognizable. They get the same treatment. That's such an insane use of investigative resources to
right,
be checking
but,
these.
But they have to do that or the publicity would be bad. Is that right?
I think the publicity would be good. I mean, I think, look, my line will go faster in Washington if you will just let the members of Congress go through unmolested. Uh-huh. I don't have to wait as long. It's nutty. It's all nutty.
But, you know, the solution to everything, and I've talked about this on the air, I won't even say any more about it, is Bacon in a Kiss Airlines, which is my invention. Lawrence O'Donnell Jr. is my guest. He'll be here again tomorrow with Robert Schimmel. Robert Schimmel will be here with us. It should be a whopping good time. So tune in. This is Penn Jillette. Bye-bye.